Inkling by Syria, read by Library Chick 94. Fandom, Hawaii 50. Relationship, Steve McGarrett, Danny, Dano, Williams. Rating, general audiences. "This is very sad," Danny says. "This is probably the most pathetic thing I've seen all day. I mean, I had an inkling." "An inkling?" Steve says flatly. "What are you, someone's maiden aunt? And give that back to me." "A suspicion," Danny continues, as if Steve hadn't said a word, because he's really not interested in what Steve has to say at this moment in time. "Because I am a detective. I am a very good detective, and therefore I am able to take your bizarre affection for Disco and that smirk and your hair..." "Hey!" Steve reaches up to touch his head, realizes what he's doing, and hurriedly sticks his hands in his pockets. "What's wrong with my hair?" "I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying you put all those things together, and it don't take much to extrapolate the kind of god-awful playlist you're liable to have on this thing." Danny turns his attention back to Steve's iPod. "The Beach Boys, the Stones. Predictable. A little cliched, but not offensive. I could listen to this without my brain liquefying and dribbling out my ears. But then you got to go and add to this. Tiffany. Bonnie Tyler. Multiple songs by Bonnie Tyler. The entire soundtrack to Dirty Dancing. Are you deliberately messing with me here?" Steve shrugs. "I like 'em. Got a beat. You can dance to it." Danny reaches the end of the playlist and cannot prevent the snort of derision that escapes him. "I've never been to me, McGarrett. This is not a playlist. This is not an orderly sequence of pleasing tunes. This is oral torture right here. If the governor caught you playing this to suspects, even she'd say that her authorization to use any and all means didn't include this. Dangle them off a building. Okay. Feed them to sharks. Fine. That whole thing with the clowns. Sure. I mean, ethically, I got problems with that. I'm uncomfortable with what it says about the intrinsic nature of the human being, but okay. But this is the kind of thing that kills a man's soul. His soul. I'm asking you nicely," Steve says, "to give me back the iPod." "And I am telling you," Danny replies, spreading his arms wide, "in a reasonable manner, that I will not be doing that." "Do you know why I will not be doing that, Steve?" Steve rubs at his forehead. "No, I don't." "Because," Danny says, poking Steve in the chest with his iPod and then slapping at Steve's hand when Steve tries to take the iPod back from him, "if you can make your Neanderthal animal brain think back to just a few seconds ago..." "I resent that," Steve says mildly. "Of course you do," Danny says, "because the truth hurts, my friend. And I am a cop skilled at putting together evidence, at getting a read on a person. So I know I should be offended by what you got on this, not just on a general level. Not just because I'm worried for civilization and human decency and the kind of world my daughter's going to grow up in, knowing that some people are willfully still listening to Africa by Toto, but on a personal level." "Danny, you know you're not making any sense, right?" Oh, I'm not making any sense? Well, I apologize if I don't speak Commander Stephen J. McGarrett, if I don't got what it takes to communicate in a way you can understand. But let me tell you one thing. I comprehend what you say just fine, and pardon me for taking offense that this is what passes for mood music with you." Steve makes a face, the one that Danny has come to think of, maybe, God help him, a little fondly, as constipated hamster with additional aneurysm, and after a long moment manages to say, "Excuse me?" "Do not play dumb with me," Danny says. "Do not. You may behave in a dumb way pretty damn constantly, what with the throwing yourself off buildings and moving cars and exploding tiki bars and cliffs." "Jesus Christ, I said I was sorry. About all those times," Steve says, not looking in the least bit repentant. This is the kind of crazy person who joins the SEALs, Danny thinks. Not just the kind of person who thinks extreme sports are fun, but the kind of person who thinks genuine near-death experiences qualify as a sport. Near-death experiences in a tiki bar. Danny still can't look at one of those little cocktail umbrellas without shuddering. "But I have a second inkling which tells me that there is in fact a brain up there, somewhere up there in the stratosphere, and that you use that brain to think to yourself, 'Self, when I finally decide to do more than just flirt with Danny, and actually, maybe, I don't know, kiss him, ask him out, see if he's amenable to the idea of some kind of relationship that is semi-functional and offers at least a moderate number of orgasms in recompense for all the emotional stress I put him through.'" "How did we get from the contents of my iPod to orgasms?" Steve asks. His attempt at befuddled confusion would be a lot more successful if he wasn't staring down at Danny's mouth. Danny will tell you that for nothing. "I do not know, my friend," Danny says, tossing the iPod over onto Steve's couch. "I do not know how we will, because somewhere inside your thick skull you thought that stuff was music to woo me by, and that is just unacceptable." Steve blinks down his nose at Danny, looking for all the world like a wary giraffe, albeit a giraffe with some freaky ninja combat skills. The wooing or the music? Danny does not tear his hair out, because Danny is a man of great patience. 8 years married to Rachel, 2 years being very pointedly not married to Rachel, and almost a year working alongside Steve have demonstrated that very nicely. Thanks so much. Am I speaking a language that is not English here? Steve's shrug aims for nonchalant, but doesn't quite make it. You are from Jersey. Oh, I see, Danny says, taking a step forward until he's just a little too close to Steve for comfort, for plausible deniability. Until he's in a close orbit around Steve, just like always, able to smell the saltwater scent of him, to see his Adam's apple working. Danny grins. Now we're reduced to taking pot shots at Jersey, huh? Well, that is not going to work. I do not see that working. You know why? I have a feeling you're going to tell me anyway, Steve says. Ah, Danny says. Now he catches on. Yes, I am going to tell you anyway. I am going to tell you that this whole wooing process is ridiculous. Steve's face falls, just for a moment, in an expression that Danny thinks no badass fucked-in-the-head Navy SEAL should be able to make. And it's kind of glorious to watch that expression change, bit by bit, as Danny continues. It's ridiculous is what it is, because I've already been wooed. You, me, we are post-wooing. Can we just get on to the canoodling already? Canoodling? Seriously? And yeah, Danny's definitely got it bad, because the smile that's spreading over Steve's face right now is enough to make Danny's stomach do 10 different kinds of flip-flop. He shuffles another little bit forward so that they're toe-to-toe. You want to critique my word choices here? You, the guy who voluntarily has a copy of I Want to Know What Love Is? Well, Steve starts, because he's got to be the one to win every goddamn argument, and does Danny have the time for that right now? No, he does not. If you go by track record here... Jeez, Danny says, for the love of God! And seriously, detective here. He loops an arm around Steve's waist, lets his fingertips curl up beneath the hem of Steve's shirt, tugs Steve's mouth down to his. And he's got an inkling, a suspicion, a sure thing right here. The end. The written work can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/138943.